Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Mindshare Podcast. This show is sponsored by Kits Keep In Touch Systems, a two-time international award-winning marketing suite for sales professionals, as well as REM, Real Estate Magazine, Canada's premier monthly magazine for real estate professionals. Learn more about our sponsors by visiting my site, mindshare101.com. And while you're there, be sure to download your free copy of my book, The Ultimate Marketing Bundle, as well as learn more about our one-to-one coaching and keynote speaking. Today's episode is number 236. Well known as the friendly fighter in his farm area, this former amateur boxer always brings his friendly yet passionate fighting spirit to his Century 21 AAA real estate career in Surrey, British Columbia. With over 25 years of award-winning sales experience under his belt, seven of which he spent as a full-time professional realtor, he always thrives on working hard and fighting hard to win his clients the best deals while striving to serve them at the highest levels. Having immigrated to Canada over three decades ago, he's lived, worked, and traveled to over 28 countries, lived in four Canadian provinces, 16 different cities globally, and brings a unique international perspective to all his real estate relationships. Not only is he a Centurion Award winner and nominated as one of the eight finalists for Century 21 Canada's 2022 Salesperson of the Year Award, he was also chosen to be an expert panelist on stage at the Regional Century 21 Awards Gala in 2023 in Vancouver, BC. Plus, for the past 6 years, he's been recognized with the Easter Seals BC Yukon Golden Hearts Award for his relentless fundraising efforts to make a real difference in the lives of hundreds of children living with developmental disabilities. Joining me on this episode of the Mindshare Podcast is a man who goes to extreme heights and rappels off 28-story office towers to positively impact these special young lives. South Surrey and international realtor, Mir Khan. Mir! Welcome to the Mindshare Podcast. I know oftentimes a lot of people struggle with, do I put myself out there? What do I do? What happens if it's not good? What happens if it's not perfect? What happens if I'm not prepared? What are they going to say? Here's the reality of it all. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you actually get started. What matters is that you actually do something. What matters is that you actually have a plan and you go and execute. Too many people sit around trying to make things perfect, trying to figure out how to not mess up. And quite frankly, when you think about it, we're in the midst of a live show right now. We're live on air. This podcast is going to be syndicated to all the major platforms. And we're just rolling with the punches. And that's part of what makes things real. So I want you to think for yourself for a moment, right? That video that you wanted to start, that social media post that you wanted to put out, are you holding yourself back because you don't think it's perfect? Are you holding yourself back based on the what if? Like, what if it doesn't work? What if it's not perfect? What if they don't like me? What if what I say doesn't have a lot of value? Oh my God, what happens if something goes wrong? Well, when shit happens, you just got to roll with it. And that's part of life. And that's part of the reality of life. And a couple of weeks ago, I shared with you about the Mindshare Mastermind, and I shared with you, and I think Brad and I talked about this last week, but we talked about the Mindshare Mastermind, and we talked about, you know, the realities around things not always going the way you want them to go. When you start to just believe in the fact that being real is who you need to be and all you have to be, that's when things start going exactly the way you want them to go. And I mean, exactly how you want them to go. Let me take that one a step back and say, things just start working. But if you don't try, nothing's going to work. If you don't fail, you're never going to learn. So it's all about that process of try, fail, learn. That's how we get better. So Mir, y'all set up now?
I'm all good.
Ah, there we go. That's some better sound. How you doing, my man?
I'm good. Sorry about that. The technology.
Hey, it's technology, but that's what we're saying. That's what we're talking about. Nothing's ever perfect. Shit does happen. If you can't figure out how to roll with the punches, if you can't take the heat,
yeah.
No, they say get out the kitchen.
Yeah.
So tell me something, man. Why do they call you the friendly fighter? I mean, we think of fighting, we think of big mean dudes. You are definitely not a mean dude. I've met you. I mean, you're not a big dude, but you're definitely a friendly dude. So what's the whole deal with friendly fighter, Mir?
Well, it came about my boxing career since then. I moved into my real estate career. And then from then, it's just making sure that my clients get the best deal. So finding the best offers I can get, depending with the sellers or buyers, whoever I'm working with. And then working on the other side as well, making sure that I'm fighting for my charities I support and make sure they're getting their funding. So there's a lot of friendly fighter spirit in everything that I do.
So tell me this, you use this a lot in your branding, right? Like even the profile photo, we've got you with your Dukes up, you know, you got some boxing gloves on. Like, first of all, have you ever knocked anybody out?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah.
Man, when I met you, I should have been more careful. No, but serious question, you use this as part of your branding. Were you boxing before you got into the world of sales?
Yep. I've been boxing since I was in Toronto, and then I lived in Calgary. I was boxing there. And then in Vancouver, since I've been here, I've been coaching with my personal coach and was as a training here.
So we tie together sales, we tie together real estate, we tie together, let's say, the professional world to your personal world. And we look at the idea of the friendly fighter, and we look at the idea of branding. And, you know, I'd say it's unique. We haven't got a lot of people running around with boxing gloves on going, I can help you negotiate a deal. And I don't knock it in any way. Instead, I say, how did you come to the decision to incorporate the two? To understand who you are as a person, what you love as a passion, and how that actually parlays into what you're doing for a living?
Boxing is a huge passion of mine. I've always been intrigued with the boxing sport. I've done many sports. I've played table tennis professionally as well. I was part of the Ontario board and part of my school when I went to the semifinals. This is like decades ago. Then I also competed for basketball. I'm not a tall guy, but when you give me a basketball in a court, doesn't matter where I am, three pointers, two pointers, doesn't matter which side, I would score. So I was a good scorer always, volleyball, soccer, every sport. So I've tried a lot of sports. Boxing, when I tried actually before that, Kung Fu Karate, it was amazing. I did well in that. And then just Muhammad Ali's always been a legend. And I've always followed Muhammad Ali my whole life. A lot of gear. I still wear a lot of Muhammad Ali. I didn't wear it today. Today's my Century 21. I did. But Muhammad Ali gear, I have half of my closet is Muhammad Ali. So anyways, that's one of my passion sports then. So coming from there, merging it into real estate, my passion is real estate. I don't do this as a job or a career, if you want to call it. This is something I absolutely enjoy. I have a huge passion for what I do. Wake up every day, and I've done many jobs over the years. And anytime I felt that I wasn't fully dedicated or fully involved with the job, whatever I did before, I would just leave and get something else that I wanted. So I've never been confined to pressures. Knock on wood, it's always been good financially. So it's not like a huge struggle. So that's how, you know, I combined my boxing career into my work career or my real estate career, because I have to find something that's unique. And my dad is also a realtor back in Ontario. And he mentioned and recommended before I started real estate, he was a realtor before I was. And he said, you know what, you need to have a unique offer, something unique you need to give up. So real estate for me was my passion. Boxing was always been a passion of mine for over two decades. So I decided, you know, this is the best opportunity to kind of merge them both and do two of my passions together, make it my livelihood.
You know, it's interesting. How many people sit around thinking, you know, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I stand for. I don't know. I know what I love, but I can't combine the two with business. And it's like, why not? Right. And this is something we talked a lot about in our mastermind about, right? Like authenticity, really figuring out who you are and then leveraging that. I just got off a coaching call with somebody else earlier this morning talking about the exact same thing. It's incredible how when we actually figure out who we are as people, we get comfortable with who we are as people. We then allow ourselves to be who we are. We start to attract more people that are like us and find a lot more success in what we're doing, a lot more joy in what we're doing. Whereas when we're out there and we're trying to be somebody else who we're not, we're just pretending. We're lying. We're probably not happy with ourselves. We're always trying to keep up with the Joneses. But like, who are the fucking Joneses? Like, why are we trying to keep up with them? Why not just try to do what we do and who we are? And that's where, again, when we come back to this idea of taking, you know, the boxing world of yours and bringing that together with the real estate world and going, look, this is me. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess, let me maybe ask you that, like figuring out who you are and what you deliver. How did you piece all of that together? Or would you say that's still a work in progress?
It's never a perfect fit. Always, you're always evolving, you're always growing. My again philosophy is the day you don't change and learn anything, you should be 8 feet under, 6 feet under, below ground. There's no point being living then. So you got to be learning and evolving always. And that's something that I've strived to, and I coach my son for that as well. And everyone I've spoken to every time, always, that's something that I do.
So when we look at the friendly fighter and the whole idea of, I mean, hey, you come back to real estate sales, you come back to any sales of any sort, but, you know, real estate, I mean, whatever it be, but negotiating is a big part of what we do for a living, right? Negotiating the best deal we possibly can for our clients, like always thinking about how does this help them? Is that really where the whole idea of boxing, like, have you ever had a client come up and be like, okay, I don't get it. Like, what's going on here? Like, are you going to go like with boxing gloves to the meeting? Like, from a negotiation perspective, how do you tie this together with people? And what I'm trying to really pull from you, all jokes aside, is for anybody here who's trying to figure out, how can I then find my intangibles? How can I answer the question of why me? Right? Because I ask that all the time. Why you? And I would challenge anybody right now tuned in, like, why you? So I look to you, Mir, and I go, okay, boxer, passion for real estate, passion for helping people. And I want to talk more about all the helping that you do, because there's some phenomenal stuff that you do out there in the community. But how do you tie that together with clients? Like, how do you take who you are and bring it together in the professional space? And again, leveraging the negotiating, leveraging the fighting thing. And I want to use that as an example for anybody that's tuned in.
With boxing, it's a lot of dedication. It's a lot of commitment you need to put down to. And it's a lot of pain you need to come in tunes with, and then you have to accept it. So having that perspective of seeing how your opponent is moving, you know, how the body language is moving. So based on a lot of those learnings, I kind of bring them all into my real estate world now, because having personal coaches in Toronto, having one personal coach in Calgary, and then having one here in Surrey, where I live right now, in the greater Vancouver area, having those mentorships with them, you learn a lot about not just how you knock your opponent out and how do you win a fight when you're in a ring. And again, it's a split second decisions you need to make based on how your opponent's moving. So that again comes down to clients now in real estate. When you have clients that are negotiating, again, having my background in neuropsychology as well and from university, that helps me a little bit understand how people react to different situations, learning body language. So through sports, through my education, through my life, career I've spent in sales over 25 years. It's a lot of skills that come in play. And then, yes, coming back to your question, do you have boxing gloves? Yeah, I always carry them in my car. So when, you know, clients bring it up, hey, you know what, are you bringing the red gloves on? I say, yeah, I have them in my car right now. You're going to bring it to the negotiation. And I love negotiating. That's one of the main reasons why I do what I do. I absolutely have a huge passion for negotiating best deals for my clients. Doesn't matter which way I'm working with again. And I've also had a lot of coachings through my other companies I worked. I work for Dell Computers. I work for Canon Canada, ADP. There's a list of them throughout my career. And a lot of these are top leading companies. Especially Canon was one of my best experiences, where I learned how to use the Japanese philosophy and the work ethic and do a training through them. I was trained in Montreal for that. I wanted to spend 3 weeks there. So anyways, it was a lot of amazing things I've gone through my career, which is all I bring to my table right now for my clients. And I use it as this in my own business now. This is where I do this for myself and my clients to service them the best I can. And I bring everything and anything that I have to my disposal to make sure that they're getting the best deal always.
And again, a lot of that will obviously stem from the fact that you've actually figured out who you are. You know what you represent. You know what you love. You know where your passions lie. So you came to Canada 3 decades ago, walked in, obviously weren't in real estate yet. I talked to so many people who never mind came to Canada, they're born in Canada, and they still sit back and go, I don't know where to find people. I don't know how to connect with people. We've got people that are brand new to Canada that figure out ways to go out and connect with people and build up their networks, and others who I believe, through a lack of effort, just don't do anything and then sit around going, well, why am I not busy? Why am I not getting the deals? And they, you know, constantly spending money on just trying to throw Band-Aid fixes on stuff with no real plan. And we know that's not going to get you anywhere, right? In order to have the success, we have to have some sort of plan. We have to have something that's guiding us to get to where we want to go. In your case, you come here, you don't know anybody. And again, I know you're not in real estate sales to begin with, but once you started selling houses, how did you actually build up that network of people? What was some of the things that you were doing?
When I started real estate, I moved to Vancouver from Calgary, actually, because I originally grew up in Toronto. Once we came in, I was in Montreal, then from Toronto, and then lived in Calgary for a year and then moved to Vancouver. So when we moved here, we don't have any family, cousins, friends, nobody here. So when I started my real estate career, the first thing I did was door knocking.
Mm-hmm. The door knock. Yep. It works, doesn't it?
100%. I have no doubt in that. Again, I'm not a huge fan of it, and I'm sure most people are not.
Hey, I'll tell you this, and I told you this before, but I'll tell you, 99% of people asked do not like to door knock. Mm-hmm. Actually, 96% of people asked do not like to door knock, and probably 99% don't want to be door knocked. Of the 4% of people that actually do door knocking to grow their business, to build the mindshare, to get out there and meet new people, as long as those people do a lot of follow-up, and I mean anything, you know, fortunes in the follow-up, right? As long as we do the follow-up, we get the conversion. And now those 4% of people that actually do the door knock, 99% of them always tell me they see business from it. So we know it works. It's just whether you're willing to do it or not. It's like anything else in life. Are you willing to put in the hard work or you're not? So anyway, sorry, you're doing it. Tell us.
Yeah, so door knocking, I started door knocking my community, and I had a lot of people that asked me, oh, so you live in the neighborhood. So my neighborhood was the first thing. And the way I approached this was not, hey, do you want to sell your house? I was working with one of the local MPs here. He's with Liberals, and he's part of my riding still. So this is, again, going back, this is the second or third time he's been voted again to be the MP. So he's really, really good.
And he's a Liberal?
Yeah, I know. He's a really nice guy. Doesn't matter.
Man, the guy that he's following shouldn't be there. I'll be very straight about that. So quite frankly, I got no affinity to any of them right now.
But this guy's really nice. Like, he really cares about his community. So when I approached him, and he actually, we connected over one of the times that we met. And I approached him and they say, hey, you know what? We have certain issues in our community about the railroad and about certain things, about the sound from some of the things and some of the issues we had about speeding in the community. So I said, let's have a town hall meeting and let me organize all of this for you. You come in, you be there, and then bring the Surrey City bylaws officers as well. So we can have a community actually gathering so we can have a community discussion. So I organized all that. I knocked on the doors, people. I got a whole bunch of people that I think I had about 70 or 80 people that turned up for this community town hall event. And John, who was the MP of Liberals, he was there. And these bylaw officers were there. There are a few councillors from the city of Surrey as well. So we had this meeting. People raised their concern. And it was a great event. And people got to know me through that. And when I knocked on doors again for a future, people kind of knew me now. So it was easier. So I didn't take an approach, say, hey, you know what, you want to sell your house. I said, how can I service my community? How can I help people? And through that, it came out to, okay, hey, you know what? Mir's a realtor, by the way.
And that's how you started to actually meet the people that you were connecting with, was go out, knock the doors, just shake hands, you know, quote unquote, kiss the baby, shake your hands, but get to know people and start to let them know, hey, he's a nice guy.
Yep. And also the Block Watch captain as well. So that's another thing, initiative I became, I took in the community. Trying to have a little bit more speeding issues, having more safety concerns for the public. Even a community is a great community anyways. It's not a bad community, but it's always good to have a block watch set up. So I was the block watch captain, about 86 homes in my community. And I had a co-captain, and then we would take care of the community. We did events as well, where we called the RCMP officers. And it was a lot of fun for the community again. So it's a lot of fun events, a lot of community involvement.
Which is, you know, getting involved with the community, getting involved with the people there, that's number one. And I think that that's one of the big things that people don't want to put the work and time and effort into. Mm-hmm. Everybody expects that people are just going to know who we are. They're just going to sit there and they're going to call us. They're going to want to deal with us. But if you're not involved, if you're not putting yourself out there and you're not supporting the things that you're doing, like, for example, spoke to somebody recently, sending out a lot of flyers to the neighborhood, doesn't do the door knock, doesn't do the community involvement, doesn't get to know the people. Now expects that some just random piece of paper is just going to change their world and drive a whole bunch of business. Or it's like, doing the bus benches and doing the, you know, the big billboards. You know, I'm even going to take that and go one step further and saying that's like running social media ads, but not being organically involved. And when I say organically involved, for anybody who's maybe confused by that, you got organic and you got paid. Organic is where you're going to go and you're going to put the content out yourself. You're going to let people into who you are, let them get to know you. Paid is where you're going to be going after business, pure business. You're going to be trying for conversions. Well, if people don't get to know you, what kind of expectation do you have off of the conversions? It's not going to happen. Let's talk about that for a minute. Marketing. As we talk about prospect and we talked about building mindshare, what are you finding is working? Like, what really works when it comes to marketing your business? Not the property that you're listed for your client, but your business.
Well, the best marketing is referrals. That's the best way it works for me. So most of my business now is from existing clients and past clients. That's the best marketing personally. I can't think of anything better.
Okay, what are you doing with them though?
Well, we call, if you have a client with their birthdays or if they have someone's not feeling well, sending them a get well soon card, anniversary cards, is drop-bys, a lot of, you know, circle of influence, working with the circle of, that sphere is the most important thing for marketing for me.
Okay, tell us about some of the things you're doing. Like in terms of social, let's say, how active are we on the social media front of that in terms of maybe daily connections? What kind of things are you doing for them? You don't have to let go of all the secret sauce, but kind of what kind of stuff are you doing for them that's helping you really build up a whole bunch of, you know, the referrals coming out of the network and really amplifying where that business is coming from?
When it comes to social, just staying active with, as you said, like, making sure that you're connecting, setting a time, at least 5 to 10 people a day, and then responding to them, engaging with them in social, posting social media content as well. It could be about real estate, could be about family. Just not consistent on there too much, but I'm getting better at it, as I said. But that's pretty much it, though. Again, I'm not really sure what else socially looking at.
Well, I mean, look, what I'm pulling on here is, I guess the difference between going after the people that we know versus the people we don't know. Mm-hmm. Right. And you're saying that a lot of your business comes from the people that you do know.
Yes.
So now it's a matter of what kind of processes are we putting in place? I mean, here, if I said to you on the flip side of that, just extend that conversation, you know, what do you find really doesn't work? What have you tried? What can you talk about? What can you share with people in terms of that?
Doesn't work. Well, I have a farming area with postcards, for example. So sending postcards, that I've been doing this for the last 3 years now. I have 2,500 people that I send postcards to every month.
Yeah.
And I haven't failed any for the last 3 months. I've sent it every month and it goes to their houses. So response from there, if I'm not knocking on doors, then there is very little to no response from it. Even though they've been getting it for 3 years every month, there is no real connection. There's no sales. But if I'm knocking on doors and not even sending postcards as much and not spending that extra money, thousands of dollars every month, then that gives better results, I feel.
So you're liking the idea of the high touch of getting out there and actually being in front of people versus just sending stuff passively to them.
Correct. 100%.
And would you say, safe to say, like when we talk about flyers, we talk about billboards, the kind of paid ad route is also a very similar type of thing there?
I feel it is. Paid ad route is the same because on social media, they don't know you. There's like 100 million out of 1,000 people. So whoever social media, I've seen of them on my Facebook, my Instagram, my TikTok, they show up. It doesn't really, they don't build any trust because I know you, as you know, people do business with you, but they know, like, and trust you. So if you're not knowing and liking and trusting you, then why should they connect with you?
So what kind of stuff are you doing to build up the know you, like you, trust you?
For the people that I have in my circle and people through referrals I get, I follow up with them. That's one of the things I do. And I never fail on that. Make sure I'm emailing them, make sure I'm calling them, sending the birthday cards, drop-bys, whatever I think I can do. Anything I know there is something special happening in the life, I just show up with something. So it's always being involved with your circle of influence. That's a very important. And that's, again, building mindshare. It's the biggest thing and staying top of mind with them.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, I love the line you just used there about building mindshare. I couldn't agree more, Amir. you know, but there's so many people out there that think building mindshare comes back to, I've just got to spend a ton of money putting myself out there to strangers. And as I continue to exhaust this part of the conversation, I continue to talk about this on a regular basis, right? If you're talking to strangers, it's going to take time for those people to begin to know you. Yeah. Then there's got to be an aspect of how are they going to get to like you? Then there's got to be the aspect of have you earned their trust? You know, I've got a few ladies in my neighborhood that continue to market. And since the day I moved in, they've been marketing this neighborhood. In fact, they flyer the neighborhood like crazy. They've got the bus benches. They've got the bus shelters. They don't work together. And they could probably stand at the curb of my driveway and tell me what the house is worth because they know the neighborhood. They might even be able to tell me how many bedrooms are in there before they even come inside the house because they know the neighborhood. Now, you might say, well, Dave, you've seen them for seven years, 8 years. Don't you trust them? And I would tell you straight, I don't even know them. Yeah. Now, if you said to me, but you just talked about them, well, I've seen them, but I don't know them. So how can I tell you that I like them? Quite frankly, I don't like them. And it's not that I don't like them, and it's not that I do like them. I've been able to make a decision on that. They've put zero effort in coming to see me. So for all the money that they continue to spend to go out there to strangers so that people can like see their face, so that they could see themselves while they drive down the street. Oh, look at that. That's me. Right? For all that money that's being spent, I wouldn't even call them because they haven't done what they need to do to come and introduce themselves to me. Right? Come, shake my hand. Let me get to know you. Once I get to know you, I might begin to like you. And then all the time and effort you've put in over the past 7 or 8 years, the reality is, yeah, some of your marketing has established trust. Like I'm even talking about these people right now saying they probably know how many bedrooms I have. So there's a level of trust that they understand the neighborhood. But the know you like you, it's not there. So do they get the business? Absolutely not. This is one of the biggest misconceptions. Like, would you say like, okay, like if I said to you, like, brand new agents coming into the business, mm-hmm. or somebody who's in the business already wants to go next level, what kind of advice would you give them right now?
The best advice is make sure you stay in touch with your contact, because one of the biggest things, again, going at NAR events and a lot of Kriya stuff that I'm involved with as well, just getting pictures, stats and stuff. Most realtors are forgotten from the client's minds because the client doesn't even know if the realtor even is existing, if they're in business, unfortunately, alive or dead even. So if the realtor is not staying in touch, they're not top of mind. They're not building any mindshare any days. So why should they remember you? As you said, you're getting flyers. I get flyers to our realtors at my house and they're not consistent. They continue for maybe 1 month, maybe two months, maybe 3 months if they may continue. And then after that, they're done. The repeating guys that I see all the time in my mailbox are the guys who are all the top 1% in my community as well for realtors. And again, there's abundance of business. So there's no reason to have competition with other guys or ladies. There's enough business for everybody out there. So just make sure you're connecting with your clients, following up with them, making sure you whatever it is, a birthday, you know, yearly anniversary for their house, their son's birthday, their daughter's birthday, anything, their wedding anniversary, if you know when that is. Just send it a quick note, stay in touch with their cell phones, email, pick up the phone, call, just say, hey, how are you doing? Especially with just coming off of COVID now. A lot of people are still struggling with just connecting with people again. These last 3 years has been really, really difficult for a lot of people in my community anyways. And I'm sure the other communities in Canada are about the same as well, because these guys are really, really missing people connection. So that's my advice. Just make sure you stay in touch with your clients and build your network. Go out to sporting events, social community events. Just be part of your community. Your community is where you live, eat, and breathe. Make sure you're contributing to the community. I do local events. I've done videos for like Cobb's Bread and other local community places as well. And I've done on myself, just got my videographer, done the video, spent thousands of dollars again, and advertised for them over COVID. Make sure, you know, people come out to their businesses. So this is something that I've just done out of helping my community back. And these guys have just called me back again after they see my video, say, oh my God, this was so amazing. Please come in for like, you know, bring your family in for meals and stuff like that, the business owners. So they didn't even know that I was doing this. I asked the permissions for the staff. So, but they were, it's a community thing. So I wasn't doing anything advertising for my own personal benefit. It's for their business.
You know, this is one of the things we talk about, building positive mind share, right? You're getting involved in the community. You're helping different businesses, local shops, other owners grow their business. Mm-hmm. without asking for anything in return.
Yeah.
Right. It's that power of reciprocity. And the more you're out there, the more you're connecting, the more realize, the more people realize you're connected with other people. Now you develop, some of them know you like you trust you, because now it's coming through a third party who they may already know, like, and trust. And this comes back to what you said a few minutes ago around the power of the referrals. Right. It's huge to get out there and really do that. Now, you know, think about how many people, like, we want people to think of us as like my realtor, right? That's my realtor. In reality, if I'm not in the process of buying or selling a house and I'm not even shopping, do I actually have a realtor? In my mind, I may not.
I think you do. You're always there.
you see, but this is the thing, right? You want me to. I may not have that. Some people do. Many people don't, because they think I'm not in the process of buying it. Flip side to that is, like, I'll go to the most convenient gas station around the corner from my house. That's kind of my gas station. I'll go to the same grocery store to pick up milk because that's like my grocery store, or a convenience store, whatever. That's my convenience store. It's, when it comes to real estate, it's not the same kind of thing, because we don't buy as often as we buy milk and eggs. So now the onus is on us to build the positive mind share, to continue to be involved, to continue to do the home anniversaries and the birthday cards and the check-ins and the life events, and keep ourselves present in their mind. And if we don't do that and we don't build that mind share, you know it as well as I do, we can't be pissed off if they go with somebody else. Mm-hmm. So the job is ours to make that happen. Now, we off the top of the show today, we had talked about some of the awards that you've won and the recognitions that you've received over the time, you've earned. What led you to becoming named as finalist for Salesperson of the Year in 2022 with Century 21 Canada?
With Century 21, it's, again, for me, it's a great organization, I feel. And they were really, what is the word I'm looking for? They were really looking for someone that kind of make sure that they can appreciate. And I guess my managing broker said that, you know what, you qualify for all the criteria that they have, which is, you know, having certain sales volume, having community involvement, you know, raising funds for our charities that they support with Easter Seals. So there's a lot of background stuff that was there. So that, I guess, helped me get to the level of one of the nominees.
Got you. Cool. So just through the hard work ethic, the support of the people around you,
yeah,
the consistency of the efforts. See, it's not, there's no rocket science to this, folks. You want to achieve, you've got to put in the work. And if you don't put in the work, don't look around at everybody else and ask what happened. This is on you. So, Mir, when you brought up the past few years. I don't want to talk about all that other shit, but I will say this, right? The market has seen a lot of ups and downs over the past few years, and we've seen some real highs, which is naturally just like the cliche line, what goes up must come down, what goes down must go up. I believe that as well, because if you're going to believe what goes up must come down, then you have to believe what goes down must come up, right? And that's part of the trusting in the process. That's part of the thing around patience. But as the market does get down, and things do slow down, it can stress people out, and people can start to think twice and start to question themselves and start to redo plans and start to spend stupid money and make Band-Aid fixes. My question, I guess, here would be, you know, what's it take to stay mentally strong no matter what the market's doing?
The best way to stay mentally strong is take care of yourself. You got to be the best version of yourself always. So make sure you're eating healthy, you're working out, you're sleeping. Sleep is important. A lot of people say, you know what, I'm not sleeping enough, or I'm doing something else. No, you need to sleep and eat healthy as well and work out. So those are my regular basic things anyway, just to stay sharp. And obviously, if you are taking care of yourself, then you can take care of anybody else and everybody else as well. So that's something that's really important. And now coming back to the market, yes, the market does go up and down all the time. Staying consistent with all the processes you do, staying dedicated to your CRM, making sure you're following up with people, those are all really important things that make sure that even on a downs, you're not really that down. And also saving up. Make sure that if you have some good months, make sure you save a little bit extra for those months. don't spend it all. Go buy a nice car or a yacht or nice private vacation or a nice house or nice whatever it might be. Just don't go waste your money. Budget yourself. So that's another important thing as well.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring that up. I remember I was doing a presentation a number of years ago, and I was sitting there, and you know, prior to the presentation, I was going to get myself some coffee, and I was pouring some coffee, and there was two ladies next to me. And one lady turns to the other, and she pulls out these like a set of keys from her pocket, and they're BMW keys. And she's like, "Look, I did my first deal." And I sat there, I almost spilled my coffee all over the place. I thought, "Wait a second, what? You did one deal, and you went to buy yourself a BMW? What's going on here? Do you have a plan? Do you have a process? Where are you getting the next deal from?" Sometimes it blows you away what people will do, right? Where we believe success has been. And I think that that's something else that I find oftentimes is, you know, oh, I'm busy. I got these listings, or I'm just working on a listing. And I say, okay, cool. Where's the next one coming from? Oh, you know, I'm just really busy. Well, that's not a hunter mentality, right? And we, you know, thinking about being a hunter, it's always thinking about the fact that I got to think, where's that next deal coming from? What else am I doing to make sure that happens? And that goes right back to just to echo what you said about how powerful your circle of influence is for you, right? How do we build the positive mind share? Why are we taking time to get involved in the community? Why are you doing a video about whatever you said, Cobb's Bread versus about your real estate business? Because these are all the little things that help us get to that next place. And again, it's that effort. The Golden Heart Award, as we talk about community involvement, first, I want to commend you on that. I think that there's a lot of amazing, amazing causes that we can contribute to in this world. And I would say in this case, to each their own. I think everybody's going to find something that's, you know, near and dear to their heart, that's going to have impact for them personally when they lay their head down at night. You know, it's going to make people feel fulfilled. And finding something to involve yourself in that's bigger than you, when you really start to involve yourself in it, you start to realize how passionate you can become about something that maybe you didn't even realize you might have had that kind of passion for. Now, you've been recognized with the Easter Seals for BC and the Yukon for the Golden Hearts Award 6 years in a row because of the help that you provide for children with developmental disabilities. I might say it's obvious why you got involved, but I shouldn't say that and assume it here. I'd like to ask you that. What led you to getting involved with this initiative and you know, on the bigger overall, which you might have already answered, but why do you do it?
It's important to give back to community. This is something, as you said, when you go to bed at night, you know, you don't want to make sure that you made money, you know, you provided for your family. What have you done for others? How are you impacting someone else's life in a positive manner? So this is something important to me. I think, and my dad, my parents have always bought us up, you know, making sure we're giving back to the community. So that's instilled in us since we were all children, not only myself, all my brothers, my sister as well. We all giving back to the community as much as we can, helping everybody out throughout the world. So this is something that we have been brought up with from childhood. Now, coming back to why I do what I do for Easter Seals, Century 21 Canada is a partner with Easter Seals, and that's the charity of choice. And not only that, it just, when I switched from Remax to Century 21 years ago, when I was trying to find out, okay, you know what, how can I give back to the community? What can I make a positive impact with all my money or whatever I can do with? I went to the Squamish Easter Seals camp and I spent the entire day there. That was the best experience I can tell you in terms of where the money is going, how it's impacting the kids. And they even had a memorial for kids who were unfortunate enough who passed away at a really young age. And their best memories and the wish that they had when they passed away was their remains or their memory to be remembered at camp, because the camp was the best experience they had in the lifetime. And that just blew me away. I literally broke down and started crying right there. It's still emotional if I think about it, because that memory comes back. And this was a long time ago, 7-8 years ago or something. But that was so touching, that these kids who haven't even experienced life yet, they just been to the camp, spent 1 week at the camp, and that was their best experience that they ever had in the lifetime. We take everything for granted. We, you know, we can get up, we can eat, we can do everything we want, sit in a car, drive away. some of these kids, they're mentally sharp, as you can't imagine how sharp and smart they are. But it's unfortunate that physically their limbs or the body functionality, whatever it might be, it's just not there for them. So it's really, really, it really hit me hard. And since then, I committed myself that doesn't matter what my business impacted, doesn't matter what I, you know, what I do personally, I will always make sure that I'm always donating, making sure that for this cause, I'm doing whatever I can. And I've done that 6 years in a row now. This is my seventh year now, moving into Easter Seals and making sure that I'm trying to make that positive impact. And, you know, I don't do this for getting the awards, because the award starts at a certain dollar. I usually generate about 3, 4, 5 times more than what the minimum requirements are. So I'm just doing this, making sure it's giving back to the charity, making sure these kids are being influenced and helped as much as I can do for them. And I, again, ask everybody, my whole, coming back to the, again, staying with, staying in touch with your circle of influence. When it comes, usually every September, I do the drop zone. Mm-hmm. And that's when I try to raise funds and involve every single person I know in my community.
Tell us more about that. I was about to bring that up, like 28 story buildings. I know you've rappelled down like Spider-Man and just doing your thing. I mean, you know, it's incredible the stuff that you've done. And I've watched you go down some of those buildings thinking, man, that is high up there. Does the fear even kick in, or are you just all you're thinking about is how much, you know, positive impact you bring to those kids?
That's all that drives me. Yeah. And yes, I've gone through in BC, well, in the greater Vancouver area here, they've done at the Guinness Towers in downtown Vancouver. I've done that a few times at the Surrey Central Towers. I've done that a few times. And then most recently now, the Burnaby Metro Towers, which is about 28 floor plus high building. And it's really high. When you're looking down, people are looking like tiny little ants. It's really scary. Every time I look, I say, oh my God, what am I doing?
But then it's that mindset of what, why you're doing it, not what you're doing.
Right. And again, I've dressed up as Spider-Man. I've dressed up as Superman. I've had a few fun costumes. And so one of my clients came out last year, actually. He's a new guy that, you know, a new client that are quite senior or elderly, I should say, but they moved from UK and I helped them buy a property in downtown Vancouver. And he actually came out to the event and he was super excited and very happy, and he's elderly. And right now he's going through some medical issues right now, but anyways, I hope he really gets well soon. But regardless, he was out there, he was cheering me on in his UK accent, and it was so much fun. And I just put it out on social media saying, hey, you know what, if you're in the area, please drop by Metrotown Tower and I'll be rappelling at this time. And he was there. And that's another way as well. Every year I do this, I connect with every single client of mine, previous clients, past clients, my realtor colleagues, my office, anyone and everybody, I know, including yourself, David. So thank you for being part of this and donating always. And I reach out to anyone I know. And that again,
I was gonna, okay, sorry, Mira, I was going to ask you that, because just from the total that side of things, right? Because a lot of folks, they embark on initiatives, or maybe they don't, because there might be a fear or a doubt around how much money they might be able to raise, or am I bothering people? Can you just share a little bit about your experience around that? Like, even from a an advisory sort of tip perspective of anybody who's like, hey, you know, I love the idea of what he's doing, I'd love to do that too. Or I was going to start this ABC initiative, but I didn't because of X. And again, I think a lot of people just feel uncomfortable asking others for donations, and that repetition and consistency of probably how often you have to ask the question, the same people. Share just a little bit about that.
Yes. Helping anyone outside yourself, you should never be ashamed, or, you know, doubting yourself. Basically, you're doing this for someone else. You're not doing this for yourself. So you have to get over yourself first. So it doesn't matter what people think of you. This is not, if that's the fear that you have of, you know, what people are thinking of you, then unfortunately, I don't like to say this, but you don't care about other people as much than about yourself. So you're number one to yourself, unfortunately, about your feelings. You need to care about others sometimes over yourself when it comes to that. So once you have that care about other people, you have that passion to help someone, literally you mean it, not just say, hey, you know what, I want to help someone, and then sit back on your ass and do nothing about it. If you really want to help, you will go out and get it. It just depends on how badly you want to do what you want to do. It doesn't matter if it's raising money for charity, if you want to be successful, if you want to buy a house, if you want to, whatever you want, motivation you have in your life. If you have enough desire, enough courage in your heart, and you really want it, you will go get it. There is nothing holding you back. There is no limitation in this planet. There is restrictions of what you put on yourself. There is nothing limiting you. I think we lost you, David. Your sound. right, everybody? While David gets that figured out, I guess I'm taking over when I had no headphones. So I can entertain you for now. If you have any questions, obviously you can reach out to me always. I'm in Vancouver, well, in Surrey area, actually. So greater Vancouver area. And you can always reach me out on Filter Media, any channel, so it's easy enough.
So we talked about the live show off the top. We talked about this. For those of you that have been tuned in for the past, I mean, past little while, first off, I thank you as a regular. This has started to happen more and more often. I got to tell everybody that our team has been working on the technical back end to try to figure out what's happening with the show and why it cuts out. And I think that we are about to say goodbye to StreamYard. So StreamYard, if you can hear me loud and clear, I'm telling you right now, we're about to say goodbye. This is maybe it right now. Our relationship's about to end because I'm tired of it. It's technology. Now, for anybody tuned in, they're like, but Dave, did you try this? Did you try? Yeah, we tried it all. Trust me, I don't want this show to be like low quality for you. I don't want you to sit back and go, man, this guy's stuff keeps cutting out. I'm going to stop listening. I don't want that. We work too damn hard for that. Anyways, sorry about that. So here, first, again, I just want to say congrats. I think that what you're doing with the community for the kids, I know I have been able to experience it firsthand by being at some of those events with you guys. Hearing the stories, watching the videos, seeing the impact that you're making, that the entire company is making, and I think it's incredibly special. Keep doing what you're doing with that stuff, man. It's you're definitely changing a lot of lives, which is incredible. As we talk about events, you, my friend, are a consummate learner, and that's what I've. You know, one of the things I've gotten to really know about you, you're always taking or looking for ways to help yourself grow. What kind of impact has that had on you and your real estate business? I mean, and what would you say to anybody who's not taking the time to go and try to learn and feed their brains on a regular basis?
You got to learn, you got to improve. Like if you're not improving, if you're not changing your current situation, as Einstein always said, if you're doing the exact same actions and getting same results, sorry, if you're doing exact same actions expecting different results, that's a definition of insanity. So obviously, if you're doing the exact same things and you want to change things and you don't want the same results, then you got to do something different. So something different for me personally is to make sure I read a lot and make sure I follow a lot of things. I'm part of a book club as well where I participate in, and every Thursday we meet in the morning. There's a mastermind book club group. Very, very smart people. We read amazing books. Right now, we're reading a book by Joe Dispenza. It's a phenomenal book as well. My wife recommended me his book as well. She's an avid reader as well. So she recommended a book on parenting, which I recommend everybody, called The Conscious Parent. Phenomenal book. Teaches you a lot about how to interact with your children. Doesn't matter if what age they are, you know, teenager age. And it's a very, very powerful book, teaching you a lot of insightful things. Most important thing for me that I learned from that book, I'm not finished the book yet, but I read more than half of it, is ego. Controlling our own ego. Our kids are our teachers too. So you can learn so much from them. So anyways, books are something that's very important to me. Being part of different events that I attend, especially the conferences that I attend for Century 21, very, very important for me. Meeting amazing people there. Events such as what David hosted as well, just Mastermind Group, just in Toronto recently. Phenomenal group. It was something that I didn't know anything about. And just going into it was phenomenal. The amount of knowledge I had, the people I connected with, the guests that David had was, again, amazing. So there's a lot of learning, you know, even local events that happen in my real estate board, I attend them, making sure I'm connected with the realtors. I meet so many people at NAR as well. I've attended that. So it's always learning experiences from people, and that has helped me grow my network exponentially, which I would have never met these people. These people are some of them very high profile people, owners of large brokerages doing multi-billion dollar transactions every year. And I get to spend time with these owners and hang out with them and get to know them personal. It's what you invest in yourself. As David said as well, if you're not going out, putting the effort in, you can't be complaining and saying, hey, you know what? Why is my life situation not changing? You got to put the efforts in. You got to do what you need to do to make sure you need to get where you need to get.
You know, and I thank you for bringing up the mastermind just now, sincerely. We did the Mindshare Mastermind in Toronto. Mm-hmm. We had promoted it as, I'm not telling you anything, here's the dates, here's the checkout page, go and register. And we had a lot of people that sat back and said, well, I don't know the agenda. I don't know who the speakers are. It's a lot of money. And you think to yourself, you know, from our side of the shoes and go, well, you know what? This is part of it. If you want to invest in you, you're going to come and join us. If you don't trust in us necessarily, or you doubt it, or you doubt yourself, you're probably not going to join us. And so we had a lot of people who saw what we were doing and said, I'm not going to do it. They made the decision to not come. You, on the other hand, were one of the people that said, I know nothing about this, but I'm going to make an uncomfortable investment in myself, and I'm going to go and do this. Mm-hmm. You were one of those people. Now, as I walk away from that event, I feel like we killed it. I think it was amazing. But I do want to ask you, why would you make an uncomfortable investment in yourself to attend an event that you know nothing about? You didn't know who was going to be there. You didn't know what you were going to learn. You had no idea what to expect. You didn't even know where you were going. All you knew was Toronto. You still did it. Why would you do it? And what did you take away from it? Like, what did people miss?
Well, what I did was because I trust in you, basically. Like, obviously, a relationship with you, I've seen you many times before. So thank you for, you know, doing everything that you do already for the community, not only, you know, for realtors that you help a lot of people as well. So you change people's lives. So that main thing was coming in there was make sure that, you know, I'm learning something. I'm getting to meet some amazing people. And I knew you would have some guests, even though I had no idea who you were. You know, people don't know this. The day that the event started, guys, David and I were coming from we stayed at the same hotel, obviously. So we were coming down, and I met him in the elevator coming down. We bumped into each other, right? Yep. We walked together from the hotel. When we bumped in, we didn't even know that. I didn't know he was coming at that time. We were just both getting into the event. We walked from the hotel to the event, and that took literally about maybe 5-7 minutes. I kept drilling on David. Can you tell me who the first guest is? He said, nope. I would not get anything out of him. So that was pretty cool. Again, you know what? Keeping that focus and not sharing anybody. So, but again, the trust was already there. I was already in Toronto. I was already there. It's not like I'm going to jump on, like, go back to my room and fly out now because you didn't tell me who it was. But no, the trust has to be there with whatever your event you're going into. And the biggest thing is I didn't know anybody there. I don't know who was coming. All I knew was I'm staying at this hotel. I didn't even know where the event was being hosted. So everything we found out just, you know, a few days before. So it was just a great thing overall. But the reason why I came out was just make sure that, you know what, like, I want to grow, I want to learn, and I needed to make sure that I need to make some changes. One of the key things I knew that the message that would be taken away would be, how can we improve from what we have? What challenges do we have? How can we fix them? And again, during the event, I know I don't want to share too much of this stuff, but David had a hot seat. I don't know what you call it, but it's a hot seat. Basically, you the people in there write a question, you put it out there, then we bring it out and we read that question from whoever wrote that question. And the whole class, as a mastermind, we kind of respond to their obstacle, whatever challenge they are facing, and try to come up with a resolution for them. So that was phenomenal as well. So a lot of people who had big challenges, they had some answers from the whole class. So that was amazing, you know, seeing all those challenges from people getting resolved. But there's a lot of other amazing things. The guests that were out, I don't want to say too much about it again, but you should have been there. You should be there next year. Hopefully they will do it again. I would very highly recommend it. I'm going to be there. And again, those questions that David said about, you know, not knowing the prize and location. I came in from Vancouver and Toronto. I think I was the furthest guy. There's nothing past Vancouver. I'll just go from a different country. But it was a great event and I would do it again.
I'm grateful that you made the time. I'm grateful for the trust. I'm grateful that you made the investment in yourself. Would you say that the ROI far exceeded the investment?
100%. I'm still implementing changes. I'm not there doing everything we discussed, but I'm going through the changes. I'm making sure that I'm positively impacting my life so I get much better results, then I can help more people.
It's amazing, man. It is so cool to hear. And I thank you for sharing. I mean, we just, you know, the feedback that was received from that event from everybody in terms of, and that was one of the questions, right? When we did that post-event survey about, you know, the investment itself and the price. And every single person responded back with, like, absolutely, that price was more than worth it for the returns that we've already gotten.
Right.
And I think that's really cool, but it also did take, and again, let's go back full circle here, right? It also did take a whole bunch of, you know, I guess, mind share building from our side over a number of years to get us to the point where we would get a room full of people who showed up somewhere purely based on trust with no other idea of anything else happening, and then walk away and go, it even exceeded expectations. Mm-hmm. You know, and to anybody, that doesn't happen overnight. Mir, we've known each other now for a number of years. And so, again, it's all about building it. And Mir already said it earlier on. And that's why, again, I loved what you said about the sphere of influence and, you know, the little things about relationship building. I mean, it takes time. Everybody, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. Don't think that the first person you meet is just going to turn around and say, yeah, let's do something together. Or let me buy that. Or let me spend money with you or close a deal with you. Life doesn't work like that. It takes time. And then you've got to really go through the trials and the tribulations, and you got to learn. And you talked about Einstein, and, you know, to some degree of that, where I do believe that doing the same thing over and over again will produce results, because the same way when we first crawled, we started to try to walk, we kept trying, and finally we walk and ride a bicycle and swim. And then I say to us Canadians, skating and all those other things, right? You know, you try, you fail, and you learn. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're learning something, you're going to grow. And I would say for us to be able to get to that point where we're able to host an event where people actually believed in it, and then you walk away, Mir, and you go, man, the value is incredible.
Yep.
It's only a process of trying, failing, and learning, right? Now to that, about 2 years ago, you decided to hire a coach. And I know that you've gone through different coaches over the time. What was it that, and I'm not going to ask you what you were struggling with, but more to the point of, what was that sort of maybe epiphany that you had of like, I've got to do something here. I've got to make something happen. And maybe I'd even lump two questions into the one, but say, for anybody that's doubting that, for anybody that's having the thought of like, I need help or I can't get there, why should they be considering hiring a coach?
Well, the simple analogy I use for a lot of people that I refer coaches to, it doesn't matter if it's you, and I have to refer many people to you as well. But not only that, if it's anybody else, I say, you know what, if not, David, go to somebody who you trust, you care, you need to connect with them firstly. Yeah. But even taking a step back, you should look at the sport athletes that we have, like Michael Jordan or Gretzky or whoever it might be, Kobe Bryant, whoever it is, you know, whatever sport you play, why do they have a coach? They make millions and millions of dollars. These soccer players, everybody, why do they train? Why do they wake up every morning and do what they do? Obviously, they have a passion for what they do, but why do they have a coach? Why do they have a mentor? When you repeat certain tasks, when they are so perfect, it just becomes a habit then after so many times repeating the same thing. But coaches are important, I feel personally, because they see something in you that you don't see yourself. You can trust in them, you can confide in them. And I feel personally that a coach is something that will help you excel to the next level. So whatever your next level will be, if you want to not move to the next level and you're happy with where you are with your life, content with everything that you have in your life, and you have no motivation to grow anymore, then don't hire a coach. You don't need a coach. You don't need anybody. You can do continuing what you're doing. But if you have even the slightest desire to grow and you want to make an impact in your life and change something about your life, in your business especially, then definitely you need a coach. Everybody should get a coach. I don't know why every realtor doesn't have a coach. There's so much growth that I have. Again, I've coached, as David said, with other people before, and everybody was different. Everybody was perfect. I have no complaints nor regrets with any one of them. Everyone was awesome. Everyone but helped me to get to a certain level. And when I felt that I was, you know, needing to move to the next level, that's when I said, okay, you know what? Mutually, we agreed that I need to go get a new coach that I can help me grow to the next level. And I've been coaching with David for a couple of years now as well. And it's been phenomenal. And again, as I said, I've referred many people. Why would I refer someone to David if I didn't believe or didn't have positive results from him? So I think everybody needs a coach.
I mean, I know it's going to sound very self-serving when I say it, but I do agree with you on that. Mir, what would you say that people could expect when they're working through the process the way, you know, you and I do, from the conversations to the action steps, the takeaways, maybe just some quick insights for anybody who's kind of, you know, again, on that fence? Because look, I know, and all jokes aside, it sounds incredibly self-serving to say, you know, get a coach, because we do that. That being said, I'm with you. Every mm-hmm. professional athlete, celebrity, you know, the biggest business people you've ever met in the world, coaches have coaches, mm-hmm. right? Because there's going to be somebody out there who's going to see something in you. You said it, that you didn't see, or that maybe you do see, but they're They're going to change your paradigm on who you are so that you can get to your next level. What do people expect from sort of the experience with us?
Well, from what we coach together, like I've seen a lot of changes in myself, especially, you know, having a CRM, building that, having certain skills, not only that, having repeating tasks and just following up with everything. Again, it's not more like an accountability. I guess that's somewhat there too, but it's a lot of follow-up as well that we do and a lot of putting the pieces together, the puzzle. Like we have a puzzle that's all scattered. Maybe there's a million pieces that we have of life. But seeing, okay, what is a priority? How do we prioritize and make sure which pieces go where? And how can we complete this puzzle so we can have a full picture that we can move, you know, to the next level or whatever the mission might be at that point? So it's work in progress always. We're always improving, changing things. There's always things coming up. And I know you and I, in the last coaching call, we had a chat about someone coming onto my charity event. So I'm working on that as well. So yeah. That celebrity person, hopefully once I get that, then we can disclose who that is. But
see, yeah, without saying who it was though, okay, and we're going to keep that quiet.
Yeah.
We sparked an idea, and our deal was sparked, and then we crafted like essentially the plan on where we want to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just a matter of making it happen.
Yes. And this person is a celebrity. Everybody, like this person is on TV. He's a national.
Oh yeah. Well, we're going to make it happen though.
We'll make it happen.
We're going to make it happen. So look, man, we've talked about, you know, how you've achieved your success as a realtor. We've talked about the importance of being involved in the community. Mm. How incredible it is and fulfilling it is to not only be involved in the community, but to give back and give back to a charity and just like the Easter Seals and these kids that you are so incredibly passionate about. And I just think it's such a special thing. We've talked about the mindset. We've talked about the marketing, the building of the mind share, the things that we need to be doing daily. The fact that you're a consummate learner, you're always trying to improve yourself, and I commend it. When the day is over, at the end of the day, how do you know it's been a successful day for you?
Well, that's successful day is basically when you're making someone happy, I think, personally. And for me, it's a spending time with my son, spending time with my wife, making sure that I've done something for myself as well. And making sure that my clients are, you know, but the best thing is if I want a deal for my clients, especially the first time home buyers, it's a very different feeling. And I'm sure every realtor that's hearing this will relate to this, that anytime they have helped a first time home buyer and you get them that key in their hand and they're so grateful, I can't tell you how amazing that feels, even not only first-time buyers, even other people who have bought and sold homes before, just getting them the property or selling someone's property, making sure they got the good deal. Those are the most important things, that the smile on their face, the gratitude they have for you. It's just amazing. Like, I can't even tell you how amazing that feels. And then coming home and spending time with my son and my wife and just enjoying life, going on vacation, just spending time with family, basically, and you know, learning, reading my book. That's another passion of mine now. This learning, growing. Those are all successful events. If I can manage everything and kind of prioritize everything and stick to my schedule, that's a hugely successful day.
And once again, it does not have to do with how much money we made.
No, money's a byproduct.
That's
you don't care.
That, that's exactly, well said, man. Well said. Give us some final words, some tips you could share with anybody who wants to get out there, build that mind share so they get more market share.
The best advice I tell people is you stay connected with your circle, like whoever your family friends are, whoever your, you know, outside influence are, your clients are, stay in touch with them. Don't be shy. Obviously, these people have done business with you or they talk to you at a certain point in time. They like you and they trust you now. So you have done all the hard work. Why leave all that and go after something, you know, a new shiny object? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I used to be like that too. I sometimes try to drift away as well, but then David brings you back to say, hey, you know what? You have your circle already here. Like, why are you going out there? So just stay connected to your circle of influence, making sure you're servicing them, you're answering their questions, you're following up with them. There is no bother. I have many clients that I've sold five years ago, and I haven't sold any property since then to them, but they still call me over. You have one of my clients, he's a huge, again, I don't want to disclose too much information, but he's involved with the U.S. education system, building system softwares for them, university implications as well, a lot of applications for COVID applications. Anyways, there's a lot of other clients that have done big things for me. And these guys are just, you know, clients from a long time. But we now I connected with him just recently. He messaged me and his wife. They said that you want to meet my wife and I for lunch as well, sometime soon, as soon as my son's school is done. So people like that, they are very high profile people. And just staying in touch with them, you never know who they know. You never know, you know, just what will come out of it. And it's just for your personal satisfaction too. You know, you're making sure that you're keeping in touch with your friends now, because most of my clients have become my friends. When I moved to BC, as I said, I didn't have any friends. I didn't even have any family in Canada, except my parents, my brothers. I don't have any family. We have no cousins, nobody here. So, you know, it's always been a new, making new friends has always been a fun thing for me. So, and I love doing that always.
Well, you do a great job with it, my friend. I know that you've made some really positive impacts. I've been there when you've been at events. I see it seems like everybody just seems to like you. This is why, we come right back to the top today. The friendly fighter. Mr. Mir Khan out of Surrey, BC, I want to thank you very, very much for joining us on the Mindshare podcast today. Amazing, amazing episode. Some great insights. Lots of learning as always. And for everybody tuned in, I thank you for joining. Make sure that you really tune in to a lot of what Mir shared today, because again, it comes back to the consistency, it comes back to the effort. And Mir, you're certainly an amazing example of that. So I thank you very, very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Dave. It's been an honor. It was a pleasure. Again, you're awesome. Keep up what you're doing as well, brother. You're doing awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, my man. Thank you. You're either listening to this on one of your favorite podcast platforms, or maybe you went to my website, mindshare101.com. And while you're there, be sure to download your free copy of the Ultimate Marketing Bundle, our 31-page ebook, including your free 90-day social media content counter to help you build more mindshare so that you get more market share. A reminder as well that if you want to talk about personalized one-to-one coaching, an in-person keto talk for your upcoming event, and or ongoing virtual training, just get in touch with me. We'll set up a consultation call, learn more about what you're looking to achieve, and how we will help you do just that. Don't forget to leave a review of this podcast at www.ratethispodcast.com/mindshare101 and connect with me on Facebook at mindshare101 and on Instagram at davidgreenspan101. I want to thank Kits Keep In Touch Systems and REM Magazine for sponsoring the Mindshare podcast. Be sure to visit our site, learn more about what these powerful companies will do to help you grow your business. This has been another episode of the Mindshare podcast. Thank you for tuning in.